ESPN Upstate, and I am Rob Brown. Hello, Palmetto State. It is wonderful to be with you once again, all the way down from the beautiful beaches of Pensacola, Florida. That's where I join you from today. Hopefully, we'll be with you again from a slightly closer geographical location sometime in the near future. But in the meantime, I come to you from the beautiful beaches of Pensacola, Florida, and wish you a very pleasant hello. It's good to be back with you one more time. Again, hit us up on Twitter at The Rob Brown Show is my personal Twitter. You can also tweet us at ESPN Upstate if you want to hit the radio station. My man Timothy's back in the studio pushing the button, switching the switches. How goes it, sir?
It's going pretty good. You know, ready for the final hour of the show.
Yeah, enjoying it so far. Are we doing well? Are we passing with flying colors, I hope?
I'd say so. I'd say we're doing a pretty good job thus far.
Good enough for me. Good enough for me. All right. Ordinarily, the intro segment is where we do something goofy or fun, lighthearted. We just have a little fun, tell a quick story, whatever. Instead, you and I are about to go in on Rob Manfred, okay? Dude, I already feel like Rob Manfred should lose his job, if we're being honest. He has been nothing short of a joke as the commissioner. I don't understand how he still is the commissioner. The guy has done nothing correctly so far, and I don't understand it. That dude is, pardon the word, besmirching the good name of baseball through this entire Astros cheating scandal. Manfred suspended the team's manager and GM, who didn't really have a whole heck of a lot to do with it, both of whom then lost their jobs. Manfred punished no players, almost in a way let the guys who helped cover up the scandal stay out of trouble. A couple of days ago, ESPN released details of a new playoff format that would have 14 teams make the playoffs that was apparently his idea, and could include teams picking who they want to play in the playoffs, which is insane. Then, last week, the league made a new rule official designed to speed up the game where pitchers must face three batters or until the offensive team is put out, which is ridiculous and a terrible idea. Manfred has just gone dumb decision after dumb decision. But the best part of all of this isn't just the litany of dumb decisions that this man has been making from the office. This is the cat who, oh, and you brought this up during the break, Tim, and I want to get your thought. Manfred told ESPN about the 2017 World Series title, and I quote, "The idea of an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems like a futile act," end quote. The man in charge of baseball as a whole, like he's the guy, referred to the World Series trophy as a, quote, "piece of metal," end quote. Tim, I saw this quote come across my laptop screen yesterday evening, and in a non-dramatic way, I was so frustrated that I just slowly reached up, grabbed the top of my laptop screen, and closed it very slowly and delicately. Because had I reacted the way that I wanted to, I would have hurled my laptop into the sun after reading the commissioner of Major League Baseball calling the trophy a, quote, "piece of metal." Tim, that is freaking unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like the man that's over the entire sport calling the trophy, the title, what everyone in your league strives to get, a piece of metal? Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is ridiculous. This is something that a commissioner should not be saying. And it's just absolutely really, I'll just call it, it's blasphemous, it's asinine, it's ridiculous. And I don't blame you for being mad. I saw that this just a little while ago on the bottom screen of ESPN, and I was like, are you kidding me? He truly said that and believed that? Why is this man the commissioner of the great game of baseball? Unbelievable.
At this point, I have to say I'm convinced nobody else wants to do the job. Like, that's the only thing I can come up with. There's just nobody else available right now. It blows my mind that the commissioner of Major League Baseball, America's pastime, can look at the World Series trophy. And listen, we both know what he's trying to do, right? He is basically doing whatever he can to try to minimize the actions that he knowingly needs to undertake in order for him to walk away from this scandal with some level of dignity as the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He understands that he has to find a way to get out of this mess, and the only way to even try to do that is to basically try to minimize the entire situation. Just pretend like it's not that big of a deal until everybody goes, okay, I'm over it, we forgot, move on, not that big of a deal. The reality of the situation is, yeah, it's not going to be that easy. This is going to be something that's going to be talked about for a long time. But the fact that he can look at the title of his sport, the one that he is in charge of, and call its trophy the thing that every young, starry-eyed, idealistic little leaguer aspires to hold up in the air one day and say, it's a piece of metal.
It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. It's like, I just can't like get grasp. I almost want to punch one of the monitors in the studio here. It's just like, are you kidding me?
We'll work on your anger issues when I get up there, buddy. But okay. In the meantime, no, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's tough to fathom. It just really is. And I'm not even trying to be dramatic at this point. It's just tough to fathom a situation where the commissioner of baseball can call its top prize a piece of metal because he thinks that is going to make the rest of us go, oh, yeah, no big deal. It's just a piece of metal. That's all. Like, you're trying so hard to minimize what your sport is going through right now that not only do you come off looking like a freaking dunce, but you just insulted the biggest prize there is to claim in your sport. That is absolutely and entirely unbelievable to me. Let's get a caller in here. 844-GSP-ESPN. Joel is from the Sunshine State of Florida. Checking in, talk a little XFL, NFL comparison. Joel, what's up, buddy? Good to hear from you.
No, I changed my mind, bro. You know, I've listened to you for a long time.
We have Joel plugged up?
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
There we are. What's up, Joel? How are you, buddy?
Rob, I was going to go with the XFL, NFL, but you just fired me up, man. I mean, look, Manfred is a fool. We get that. I understand that. I do kind of like the playoff format, but I want to tell you about this cheating scandal. It's a good thing for baseball. We've been talking about it since the Super Bowl, and baseball, Major League Baseball attendance is down for 7 past years. So we need something to spark it. You have a villain now in the Astros where people are going to see them. People are going to want to see them lose. People want to see retribution against them. So the commissioner could come across as the biggest buffoon ever, but it doesn't matter. His game is now going to benefit from this, just like it benefited from the steroid era when everyone hated Selig. Don't you think?
I don't. And ordinary, listen, you know me, you follow me, we've talked in the past. I am all about having the bad guy. Sports are better when they're a bad guy. A couple of years ago when the Bounty Gate thing was going down, I, as a Saints fan, was all about embracing that bad guy role. You hate us because you ain't us. Tom Brady and the Patriots have been the villains in the NFL for years, and the NFL is better when Tom Brady and the Patriots are being Tom Brady and the Patriots. I get all that. But it's one thing to be the villain because you're racking up W's and nobody can stop you. And it's another thing when you are straight up damaging the integrity of the game, when you are straight up infuriating other players and making them – I mean, how many guys maybe lost a big paycheck because they had a really bad day on the road against the Astros off the hill? I get what you're saying, and I'm going to say there's the possibility that you're right. But this doesn't make me want to watch the Astros to watch them lose more. This makes me go, I don't know how much I care. Maybe I'm just a bad baseball fan.
Let me counter this with this, though. Look at the players on the team. Altuve, Correa, Bregman, all these guys who are supposed to be superstars in the game. Don't you have the slightest interest to see if they really are superstars? Look at Altuve splits. At home, he was over 400. On the road, he was at the Mendoza line. Is he really that good? Your peak interest as a baseball fan, don't you want to see what these guys are really about without the cheating?
Yes, I do. And that's a very valid point. I will give you that. I am very intrigued. It doesn't mean, though, that I'm going out of the way to do it. Right? Like, I am not going to be tuning into Astros games next year to see. In fact, I would even argue that the best way to get me into an Astros game next year is going to be text me when it's the seventh and they're down 14-0 so I can tune in and watch them lose and enjoy it. I'm not going to be watching at the start. I get what you're saying. And you may not be wrong. I might be wrong. They may have a huge spike next year because everybody tunes in to watch the Stros get beamed. That being said, Manfred also said that any pitchers who go after the Astros and retaliate against them by throwing inside and beanballs are going to be punished, which I get what he's going for, but basically gives the Astros yet another advantage to start the year next year by being uber protected by the league. I don't have any desire to watch the Astros get rewarded for what they got away with.
No, that's true, and that's a valid point there. And I just want to end this with this last point on the playoffs that I think you guys might be overlooking. Baseball is 162 games. When we get to September, sometimes if pennant races are outrun and gone, it gets boring. But with this format, you want to finish number one. You want that bye. There is a reason for the regular season. And there are more teams that could be involved in that. And I think it's just intriguing to me as a baseball fan that you get to pick your own opponent. So like last year, the Braves could have picked from the Nationals, Brewers, Mets, and Diamondbacks. So say they pick the Brewers. Well, then the other team's going to be scorned. And then, you know, I just think it sets up for intriguing matchups, drama that we've never seen before, and the regular season means something. I'm going to hang up here. What you got to say? Thanks for taking my call, Rob.
Joel, thank you, buddy. Good to hear from you, man. I do appreciate it. 844-GSP-ESPN. If you'd like to contribute to this conversation or any of the other things that we've been talking about today on the program, 844-GSP-ESPN is the way to go to be a part of the program. Feel free to call in as you so desire. You know, the picking your opponents in the playoff format, I don't love it. And the reason I don't love it is one of the fun things about the playoffs, aside from the race for seeding, and you're still going to have that, but it's those really interesting matchups that you get where maybe you have an underdog, but maybe the one thing that underdog does really well is a weakness of the top seed, and all of a sudden it's an interesting format. Whereas if I let the one seed pick whoever, they're just going to pick the team that they know they're going to trounce. That to me takes away from the intrigue. And to hit me with, well, the other teams might feel scorned. Why? Because you weren't picked as the worst team in the playoffs? What are you going to be scorned by? I mean, the only interest, and I get what you're saying, Joel, but the only interest in that to me becomes the team that gets picked to be played first goes in there feeling insulted, I guess. But I'm not ready to switch my entire league format over for an intangible of maybe. Just let the matchups dictate and maybe we get some good ones. All right. When we come back here in just a minute, Tom Brady is a top three quarterback of all time, and the argument for the greatest of all time spot is a pretty good one for Tom Brady. But as we saw this year, the system the Patriots have used during the great years of Tom Brady's career, it doesn't work anymore, which means the Patriots have a very difficult decision to make. Do they change the entire system and hope Brady can adapt, or do you let Brady go and try to move on without him? Can they succeed, or is it too late for the Patriots in touchdown Tommy? I'll tell you when we come back. You're listening to me. I'm Rob Brown. This is ESPN Upstate. Be right back. Welcome back. This is ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown, and of course, the pleasure is mine. Thank you very much for hanging out with us today. My man Tim back in the network studio pushing the button switch, and the switch is making the show sound as good as it does, so he gets all the credit. He is absolutely killing it right now. We are going to talk a little touchdown Tommy. In the New England Patriots right now, speaking of, they made an appearance in that last segment as we were talking Houston Astros. We're all over the map today, man. Get a little bit of everything when Rob Brown sits in on ESPN Upstate. So last year, I don't think it would be unfair to label what the Patriots did, or shall we say did not accomplish, as a mediocre result. I mean, again, they went on to lose to Baltimore, and it turns out that that team was pretty good with Lamar Jackson out there. So not the worst thing that's ever happened to Tom Brady. But if we can be honest, it really does feel like Tom Brady is kind of done. Between him and Drew Brees, in all the discussions of where these two guys are going to end up, retirement, another team, or back on their own squad, I get a stronger feeling that Tom Brady would leave the Patriots than Drew Brees would leave the Saints, or either one of them will retire. Although a lot of noise out of New Orleans that Drew Brees might very well decide to call it a career, which will put the Saints in a tough spot. We can talk about that in another segment down the road. But the whole thing with touchdown Tuami and the New England Patriots, I genuinely feel like Tom Brady is a little bit frustrated. There were games, especially late in the season, where you'd see Tom on the sideline after the offense kind of fizzled out, and he didn't have that look of mastery of the game like he has for so long. He's got that mastery of the game down to a science, to the point that even every now and then you see those little fist pumps and that yelling and screaming after touchdowns. We didn't see that from Tom Brady, and I think it is because of the fact that the Patriots for so many years have relied on Tom Brady being so good, that they were able to go out and really put some mediocre skill talent around him, and he would carry those teams to W's. And he made a career out of it. He would go out there, and all of a sudden, you would have names like Whitehead, and just average guys that he would drag to playoff appearances and Super Bowl wins. And then every now and then when he did get an elite talent, he took an old Randy Moss and rewrote the QB wide receiver duo record books. He's just that good. But the Patriots don't have that Tom Brady anymore. It's like the Saints don't have Drew Brees that could throw a 60-yard bomb in the air the whole way and it drop on a dime. Those guys aren't there anymore. Now you've got to scale back and provide more for them. And Tom Brady, I don't think, sees New England doing that. They had rookie wideouts and Keel Harry and Jacoby Myers, each of them who looked okay, a lot of effort in. But they don't really have a heck of a lot going on outside of that that shows potential for growth out of Tom Brady and the Patriots offense. Mohamed Sanu came in, and while he was respectable in Atlanta, never really found his footing in New England. And in fairness, he did come in late in the season. He had no bye week because he skipped over New England's when he got there from Atlanta, and Atlanta hadn't gotten theirs yet. So he had no bye week. And he had to build that chemistry from week number one. And then, of course, they tried to give him Antonio Brown earlier in the year, but that was an absolute freaking disaster. So what's going to be really interesting for Tom Brady, and I think the same is true of Drew Brees in New Orleans, is that both of these cats are in the transition phase where they were the center of the universe of those two squads, yeah? When you talk Patriots, it was touchdown Tommy. When you touched, or when you talked New Orleans Saints, you talked about Drew Brees. That was it. But both of these guys are now having to transition from the central piece to a key player with a handful of other key players. Drew Brees is having to transition from the face of the franchise to, hey, that Mike Thomas guy needs to be included. That Alvin Kamara cat needs to be included. Touchdown Tommy, on the other hand, I don't even think he has that. They have not. For years, Tom Brady was able to pull mediocre talent along to victories. And now, since he can't do it, he's just surrounded by mediocre talent that can't pull him to victories. He just can't do it. And it is a weird thing as an NFL fan who has watched Tom Brady for 20 years. For 20 years, Tom Brady's been doing this. I have been watching Tom Brady for more than half of my entire life play football. And I'm not young like Tim back in the studio. I'm no spring chicken. I got them gray hairs showing up by the day, Jack. For over half my life, Tom Brady's been doing this, and now it almost feels like I'm in a sense of denial at this point, right? Because I just can't imagine a league where Tom Brady isn't a guaranteed playoff quarterback. I can't imagine a league where there's 5 to 7 more quarterbacks that I would take ahead of Tom Brady, but we're getting there. And it's just weird. So when I talk about Tom Brady and the Patriots and how good they have been this entire career, it's difficult for me now to look at Tom Brady and recognize that the reason he has always been the GOAT to me is because he can make Wes Welker and Julian Edelman into Pro Bowlers. There's only, I think, one other quarterback in the league that would send Wes Welker and Julian Edelman to a Pro Bowl, and it's Drew Brees. It's the only other guy who could do it. And even he has fallen off the last couple of years. I mean, didn't even get to 4,000 yards after a string of how many 5,000-yard seasons. So, point that I'm making here, and Tim, you chime in on this, as somebody who, you know, you've probably been, or like, your entire life has basically been within the Tom Brady era at this point. To know that this league is passing him by, it kind of feels like, whether you love or hate the guy, it kind of feels like we're watching the death of a legend in real time. I almost kind of want him to retire, not so that the Patriots return to mortality, but because I don't want to watch 2 or 3 years of Tom Brady throwing more picks than touchdowns.
Right, I completely agree. And like, the first ever sporting event I watched as a kid was when Tom and the Patriots took on my Panthers, and I think it was Super Bowl like 38 or something. And I watched Tom Brady just go to work on that magical drive, you know, get down in field goal position, for Adam Vinatieri to kick the game-winning kick and to crush my young spirit. And it's just memories of that and what he's done over the past time. It almost feels like Tiger Woods. You can kind of compare Tiger Woods and Tom Brady. Tiger Woods, you know, it's hard to imagine golf without Tiger. Tom Brady, it's hard to imagine the NFL without Tom Brady. You see what I'm saying? Just it just feels like it's, I don't know, it's just an end of an era, an end of a time period that you know, you want to see the Patriots go down, just like most of America, I feel like, but almost like the Tom Brady, a legend of this game. You just don't want to see him kind of play the way he did at the end of last year.
No. I don't care if you hate Tom Brady. The reality is, and I've said this for years, nobody hates Tom Brady just out of hate. We all might hate Tom Brady because we're jealous of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to be Tom Brady. Who amongst you out there, gentlemen, when you were growing up playing elementary school two-hand touch football, and somebody said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Didn't say Super Bowl winning quarterback with millions of dollars and married to the hottest woman on the planet. We all did.
Who makes more than him?
Wants it. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, the whole point of this is that the Patriot system doesn't work anymore, which was surround Brady with mediocre to better than average talent, let him carry us while we invest money in the defense. They are going to have to, if they want Thomas Wayne Brady to continue being Tom Brady, they are going to have to start putting actual talent around him, like now. Mohamed Sanu is not going to cut it. He needs to be your third wide receiver, at best your second wide receiver, not your number one. All right. When we come back here in just a minute, Tim Tebow is relevant in the news. And I am going to say something about Tim Tebow that is going to anger most of you college football fans and may very well cause Mark Ryan to drive from Greenville down to Pensacola to fight me in my front yard. And yes, Tim Tebow's relevant in the news. How about that? We'll talk about it when we come back. My name is Rob Brown. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure, of course, exclusively mine. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today here on your lunch break. Happy President's Day to everybody out there enjoying taking your time off. Let's talk a little bit about Timothy Tebow very briefly. I want to start by saying, before I critique and criticize the former Florida Gator and one of the greatest quarterbacks in college football history, that I have had the opportunity to spend time with Tim Tebow. I was down here in the Panhandle, a member of an organization called the All Sports Association. It's a all men's sports charity group that does a lot of work for youth sports related charities down here in the Florida Panhandle. And a number of years ago, Tim Tebow was our guest speaker at one of our events. And so I had the opportunity, the privilege to spend some time with Timmy Terrific, to get to know him a little bit. And the dude is every bit as genuine in real life as he always seemed to be in TV. He's just a phenomenal guy, super nice guy, giving. I mean, everything that's ever been said about Tim Tebow in a positive way has been 100% true. With that being said, Tim Tebow was asked if he would be interested in the possibility of making a return to football by joining in the aforementioned XFL. The former Heisman Trophy winner and NFL first-round pick, who is currently still in spring training with the New York Mets this week, spoke to the media on Sunday for the first time this baseball season, said he had some, quote, communication, end quote, about a possible return to the football field, but those conversations haven't gone anywhere substantial because he's still committed to baseball. He said, we had a couple conversations. I love what they're doing, and I think it has a chance to have the success, and that's great. I think there needs to be a place for a lot of players that are really good and should and could be playing in the NFL and are better than a lot of NFL players. There's a chance they're going to be seen. So I think it's awesome, and I think it's for a lot of guys that are going to get a spot on the NFL roster because they're going to show a team they're worth it. But for me, this is what I wanted to do and pursue it and be all in. All right, Tebow, by the way, is 32 years old now for the purpose of this conversation. Here is the thought I have about Timothy Richard Tebow. Tim Tebow should have been one of the greatest players in the history of the National Football League. And the reason he is not that is very simple. And this is the part where I start to lose a lot of people. The reason that Tim Tebow is not one of the most famous players in the history of the NFL is because Tim Tebow is a selfish football player. Don't start throwing sharp objects at me just yet. Stick with me. Hear me out on this one. Timothy Richard Tebow is a phenomenal football player. Was, is, remains. Guy can go. I would be willing to bet that at 32 years old, he could still get out on the field and spin the bean as well as any XFL quarterback today. I there's no doubt about that to me. The dude could be very good. But Tim Tebow wanted to do what was best for Tim Tebow in the game of football and not what was best for his team. Now, I know you're going to hit me, but wait a minute, Rob. Remember that playoff run he had with the Broncos? He knocked off the Steelers. And yes, I do. And Timothy Tebow did enough for his team to go to the playoffs and win a playoff game. Of course, he did it, in my estimation, he did it behind one of the better defenses that team has fielded in a very long time. And I respect that. But at the end of the day, Timothy Richard Tebow is a very good player that, frankly, cared more about proving himself as a quarterback than winning. Hang on. I want you to look down in New Orleans right now. I am about to say a name that is going to make the likes of Timothy the producer shudder. That name, Taysom Hill. How you feel right now, Tim?
I'm very familiar with Taysom Hill, yeah. Well, I mean, I like him, great overall player for the Saints, and I heard he's looking for an opportunity to play quarterback.
He is.
Very unselfish player, to your point.
He is. But he's also said that he wants to fill that role and play whatever he needs to be in order to win. And that's what I love. Because that could have been Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow could have been what Taysom Hill is now. Tim Tebow could have been a guy who could split out and run routes, could have been a guy who lines up at fullback and takes some carries, could have been a guy who lays down harsh blocks down the field, could have been a guy that steps in into a wildcat quarterback package but still throws the ball. Tim Tebow could have been all of those things and decided that, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. Results be damned. And Tim Tebow's out of the league because of it. And it drives me crazy. Tim Tebow is a phenomenal human being. Phenomenal human being. If more of our college kids turned out like Timothy Tebow, we would be better off for it. But when it came down to showtime, when it came down to time to ball out, Tim Tebow was selfish. And Tim Tebow said, I would rather play quarterback, whether I'm good at it or not. I would rather play quarterback than do what's best for my team. Could you imagine what happens if you line up a Tim Tebow in the backfield behind a Drew Brees or a Tom Brady or a Cam Newton? Could you imagine if you lined up Tim Tebow as a fullback who could flex to a tight end, as a tight end who could flex to a spread wide, as a wide receiver who could come back and line back up at the tailback spot and be a threat to carry the ball? as a fullback in goal line situations. Tim Tebow would have been everything, everything that Taysom Hill is now, but he decided, now I'm a quarterback or I'm nothing. And I'm not saying, let me make this abundantly clear, then we're going to go to the phone lines. I am not saying this out of frustration against Tim Tebow. Again, I've met the young man. I shook his hand. I've had long conversation with him in the past. The dude is a great human being, and I wish more people were like him. He's a good dude. I am frustrated for Tim Tebow because I think Tim Tebow could have had one of the great utility player careers in the National Football League. I think he could have and would have been everything that Taysom Hill is being right now for the Saints, but he didn't want it. And that's okay. That's his choice. It's his decision. But I hate it for the Broncos, and I hate it for him. Quick phone call before we get out of here and head to the last segment of the show. Gator Neal, long time no talk, buddy. How are you?
What's up, Rod? Hey, I'm glad you brought this up because I got a couple of comments about it, about my man Tim Tebow.
Fire away.
First of all, you compare him to Taysom Hill. Give me a break. Taysom Hill, when he was even at BYU, the dude couldn't stay on the field. He was always injured. Tim Tebow is always on the field, giving 100% effort. Now, do I somewhat agree with you on what you're saying? Kind of. But how many quarterbacks in the league right now who are better athletes than quarterbacks try to prove that they're a better quarterback than athlete? Let me give you an example. There's a guy in Dallas. His name is Dak Prescott. He's the reason the Cowboys are not in the playoffs. Not because of Jason Garrett and the play calling. It's because Dak wants to prove he's a pocket passer. He's not. He's a pretty good athlete. He's hard to bring down. When you get him outside the pocket, the guy's electric. He is hard to stop, whether it be with his arm or his leg. But he wants to prove he's a pocket passer. Let me stay in the pocket. Let me fold under the pressure. As far as Tim Tebow is concerned, you talked about the XFL, Rob. If he joined any team right now as a quarterback, not any other position, as a quarterback, he would be the best player in the XFL, bar none, as soon as he walked into the building. True or not true?
I don't know is the answer, only because he's 32. If you'd have asked that question 5 years ago, I would have said, yes, he'd be the best quarterback in the NFL right now, or in the XFL right now. But then again, based on what I saw this weekend, there's a pretty marked drop-off from Jacob Tamu in the XFL to the bottom half of the quarterbacks in the NFL. There's still a significant drop-off there.
That's a fair point. His age is a fair point. But I've seen every quarterback in the XFL so far. I haven't seen the backups yet. I've seen all the starters. It is atrocious. I mean, even the guys in the, like you say, the bottom half of the NFL guys make these guys look stupid. And if Tim Tebow walked onto the field, he would not only be the best quarterback, I would probably make the argument, even at 32, he would be the best player. But I do understand your argument, and I do kind of agree with you, but it's not just a Tim Tebow thing. It is a multitude of different guys at different positions who want to prove that they're this or they're that. In reality, football and any sport is about winning, and no matter how you get there, what position you play, winning is the ultimate team plan. And at the end of the day, you should be willing to suck it up and play whatever you can in order to win, in my opinion. So I kind of agree with you. I'm not going to take too many shots because I actually, thinking about it, I actually kind of agree with you.
I dig it. I dig it. Neil, good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for checking in, man. You got it, pal. It's Gator Neil from right down here in my neck of the woods. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and run to a break. When we come back, Timothy and I are going to play my favorite game to play on air. It's called Twitter Trending Topics. I'll tell you how it works when we come back. You are listening to ESPN Upstate. Final segment of the show. Welcome back. It is ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown, the pleasure all mine, all the way down here from Pensacola, Florida, broadcasting to you there in the upstate. Thank you so much for hanging out. Thank you very much for letting me be a part of your day. We are going to play our final game of the day. It is called Twitter Trending Topics. Here's how it works. It's very simple. Those of you who were with me when I was visiting a couple of weeks ago know the rules. There's not really rules. We're making it up as we go. Timothy's going to look down the list of things that are currently trending on Twitter. He is going to read them, and then we are going to, in 10 to 15 seconds, respond to the things that are trending. Timothy, I turn it over to you. Topic numero uno, sir.
Okay. Hashtag break free persona.
Break free persona. That is way deeper than I expected to go. I don't know what's being talked about with a break free persona, but what I can tell you is that I basically somehow made a career out of it and have loved it so far by being able to do this for a living. So let's hope we can keep doing that. What do you say? Why is break free persona trending? Do you know?
I don't know. I just know it's the number four trending right now so far on Twitter. And you know, I'm a little new to Twitter, so I'm trying to figure out as I go. But huh. I'm trying to figuring out the trends and stuff.
Well, we'll have to. I'll have to do. I don't know. I'm assuming it's going to be connected to like an album or something that I'm just too much of an old boomer to know what's going on. All right, topic number two.
All right, the number one trending RXT on.
RXT on.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't. This game's not going very well because I have no idea what RXT on is, so I can't help with this. Let's see. I'm now at this point. I'm cheating and I'm searching it to see if I can come up with it. But it looks like it's some sort of computer thing. I don't know is the point. I'm terrified of technology, and that's what this basically comes down to.
It looks like it's like something with PlayStation, Xbox. You know, one picture's got a cat on a Xbox controller with a sad face, you know, with it on RXT. So
fair enough. Some of you gamers out there that know what this is, shoot me a tweet at the Rob Brown Show. And let me know what I'm missing out on here. I used to do computer games back in the day. Now I'm pretty much solely an Xbox guy because it's easy and I'm not afraid of it. So
the next topic. Next one trending. They're apparently the Detroit Lions are having talks about trading Darius Slay.
I saw that, as a matter of fact. I kind of hate it. I need to really go look and find out where this is coming from, because Darius Slay last year came up in some big spots in some big games with Darius Slay. There's already a bunch of other folks. The Raiders are right now saying that they're going to make a run at him, or at least a bunch of Raider fans are. This is ridiculous to me. Unless he's getting an here's the best part. Unless he's going to get a contract extension, because I think he's only got like 1 year left on it. Unless he's going to be accepting of a contract extension, the Lions aren't going to get anything for him, and they're losing one of the few dudes who actually helped Matt Stafford out the last year. So I don't like that move for Detroit, to be honest.
Okay. The next topic, number eight, trending Mike Trout for his comments about how he lost respect dealing with the Astros cheating scandal.
Yeah, of course he did. We all did. That's not like... That's a moment where I always enjoy hearing what players say when they're involved in stuff like this. But this is one of those moments where it's like, yeah, duh. Of course, mm-hmm. We all lost respect. The only people who did not lose respect for the Astros players who were out there cheating are the Astros players. Like, they're the only ones who, and that was the best part about Rob Manfred saying, well, you know, we think them having to answer questions for the rest of their career is punishment enough. No, it's not. It is not punishment enough. It is not punishment at all. So, no, I'm fully with Mike Trout on this one.
Completely agree. Number 10 trending, doing with Mike Tomlin and his defense of his quarterback, Mason Rudolph, for the comments and that the Myles Garrett said that he called him a racial slur.
Yeah, this one's really interesting. The NFL did a full investigation to that, found that they had no proof. They weren't able to find anything that said that anyone that agreed that that he said what Myles Garrett said that he said. I don't know, man. It's really ugly, because if what Myles Garrett did was unacceptable, I don't care what Mason Rudolph said. It was just too far and across a line that should never be crossed. That being said, if you are levying this and it turns out that it's true, than Mason Rudolph, who is, and I'm not, again, not to bring politics into it, but Mason Rudolph is known for being a pretty hard right conservative guy. And he's made no secret of that. If you are levying that against him as a way to cover your own skin, you are the worst kind of person. But if Mason Rudolph did say that, then what happened is a little more, not okay, but a little more understandable in that situation. But I, if nothing else, I respect that Mike Tomlin is standing up for his quarterback. I respect that Mike Tomlin is coming out and putting his neck out there for his guy. That's kind of the relationship you have to have between coach and quarterback if you want to be successful. We got time for one more.
All right, I think we'll end on a good one. Be it hashtag Random Acts of Kindness Day.
Oh, that's nice. I'm totally stealing it from you. Hashtag Daytona 500. It's Daytona Day. Come on. We're just ahead. What do we got? About a little over an hour, I think, until we get started with the Daytona 500, the Great American Race. I hope that you all enjoy it. Again, if you are a NASCAR fan, please feel free to follow me on Twitter at The Rob Brown Show and tweet to me. I will say this. What really bugs me as I'm looking up, NASCAR fans have done themselves zero favors, Tim, because what's actually trending on Twitter is hashtag Dayton 500. So they're misspelling the name of their own Super Bowl is what's happening right now.
How to spell Daytona. Come on now.
Yeah. Not a good look for the NASCAR fans who already take plenty of heats for the assumed intelligence level of fans. As a NASCAR fan, please make sure you get the name of our Super Bowl correct before you go tweeting it. 500 today. Give me Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Joey Logano, and in a what-the-heck moment, give me Jimmy Johnson for a walk-off Daytona 500 win. Tim, I enjoyed it today, bud, man. Thanks very much, and we'll see you on Thursday or eventually.
All right, I enjoyed it, man. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. Pleasure was all mine. Thank you guys so much for listening along. I hope that you enjoyed it. I did. Can't wait to talk to you again. I'll be back on Thursday, same bat time, same bat channel, to do it all over again. Enjoy the Great American Race. Enjoy Daytona. See you on Twitter at The Rob Brown Show. Back here on Thursday. Remember, my friends, thank a soldier, sailor, airman, marine, firefighter, police officer, EMS, Coast Guardman, first responder. Love them, need them. Can't do it without them. Y'all have a great rest of your Monday. I'll talk to you down the road. My name is Rob Brown. See ya.